miss out on listening to your favourite segment of Sunshine's Table Talk with me, Leah, well, don't worry, you can catch up now. Out with Leah on Sunshine's Table Talk, and I don't know if you realise, but something quite significant happened over the weekend. It was the referendum for The Voice, and the votes were counted, and it was voted on a no decision that we weren't going to go ahead and change the constitution to include The Voice body. And to discuss all that happened over the weekend and where to hear from here, joining me on the phone is Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. Simon, thanks so much for joining me on Table Talk again.
My pleasure. Always enjoy it.
Now, Simon, big things happening over the weekend. Talk to me about what sort of was interesting for you over the weekend. Were you surprised by the decision or not surprised? Or how has your head gotten around all that was on the weekend?
Look, it has been a big weekend for the country. But I think we've got the biggest challenge coming up, and that is obviously to somehow pull together the divided ranks of Australia in something positive moving forward, something that can be the silver lining in a cloud. But back to what actually happened. No, I'm not surprised, and it goes to the core legally as to the difference between constitutional change or a referendum and a political election, which you and I talked about last week.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it proves the Constitution works as intended. This had to be a majority vote of the majority of states and then a majority of all Australians on top of that. And they have, it seems like the final figure is going to be around 62% voting no nationally. That is a very, very large majority, and it's not the sort of figure that we see in elections because of the importance of what was being proposed. And I have to say, from a democratic and sort of free country type attitude, this is actually vindication of our constitution. It's vindication that we have a strong tool for finding out what the majority of all Australians think about something.
Yeah, true.
It's worked.
Yeah, true. It's definitely an interesting way to take the pulse of, what is going on in the minds of a lot of Australians. Do you feel like on reflection, and I'm throwing you under the bus here a little bit, so if you haven't prepared an answer, that's fine. You know, I can go with it. But do you feel like in retrospect, looking at the way that the No campaign and the Yes campaign approached this, it was well done overall? Or do you feel like there could have been areas for improvement from both sides to have, I suppose, a better way at approaching and explaining what they were hoping to achieve?
Look, I think both sides have got a lot of soul searching to do. The division, the almost hatred from some parts of each campaign, that was not helpful, and it's actually bruised, I think, the national ego to some extent. But ultimately, how do I put it? The Prime Minister bit off more than any other Prime Minister before him has when it comes to referendums.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't just asking us to make a simple decision, a yes, no. There was more to it. There was The Voice on top of recognition.
Yes.
And that type of proposal put up for any referendum without all the detail to explain how it works was destined to fail. Every similar scenario, if you like, has failed in the past.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to look at, and definitely and I hope that a lot of people that were involved in the different campaigns can reflect and maybe we can approach, if we've got something that happens in this referendum and manner again, you know, with a little bit more caution and a little bit more better preparation when we're explaining of what we're hoping to achieve out of each side. We've got to go to a short break, but when we come back, I want to find out what you think will happen now, and if you think it's likely that some someone will propose a new something change to the constitution, or if we'll go a different direction. You're hanging out with Leah on Sunshine's Table Talk, and I'm chatting on the phone to Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group, all about recapping from the referendum on the weekend. Now, Simon, I've got to know, obviously there's no change happening to the constitution with the no vote being successful, but is it likely that someone will propose a new change or a slightly different kind of referendum and want it to go again? Or do you think that's now off the table long term because of the costs and all everything else involved?
Look, the quick answer purely on the law is quite boring, but we'll deal with that first. In short, there's no chance of another referendum, at least during Albanese's tenure. I just can't see how there's any hope of him getting up with another referendum at all.
Yeah.
But he still has the option to try and legislate for a voice.
Yeah.
He also has the option of looking at a treaty in a quasi-New Zealand style. And that's an issue that was sitting or hovering around the edges of the voice debate in any event, because many camps want the whole lot. They wanted the constitutional change plus a treaty, et cetera. And the treaty one's interesting because, on the one hand, it's nowhere near as forceful. It's not a constitutional amendment.
Mm.
But it would give voice, I suppose, to deliberately use that word, for a lot of the issues that were raised by the Yes camp that have a lot of merit.
Yeah.
Would it, though, again, trigger any real change for the day-to-day lives of our First Australians? And this is the big issue I wanted us to drill into.
Mm.
Putting aside the fact that there may well be other attempts in different ways, I don't think this debate is over, and I don't think it should be over.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to me to look at the breakdown of Indigenous residents across Australia and how they voted.
Yes.
And, you know, if the Australian is giving me correct data this morning, you know, in the Yes seats, Indigenous Australians accounted for 1.5% of the population, and in the No seats, 4.8%. But when we look at the five seats with the largest proportion of Indigenous residents, they voted no on average at 71%.
Mm.
And, you know, this is therefore an outcome that's not, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a disaster. It wasn't a catastrophe. It was actually the execution of our democratic rights. And the fact that it was a mixed cultural vote and it went that heavily against Yes, it just sends a lot of messages for all governments to ponder about how they try and engage with everyday Aussies. I think we'd all agree that this has shown this concept of trying to persuade the Australian people to accept a radical and quite abstract concept without detail. Honestly, don't take us for mugs.
Yes.
That's the message here. And I think that same message is going to apply to any other attempt in future. If you want to make a difference here, show us how it practically will improve the lives of Indigenous Australians. That the Australian people will support, but not this.
Absolutely. And I think that's actually an interesting point, which, because I think a lot of Australians have become quite disenfranchised with politics, you know, over the years. And it's, it kind of goes to show, if you do lean into that sort of narrative as well, that, okay, well, fine, you wanted to do this thing, but there wasn't enough information. So we're just, like you're saying, don't take us for mugs, I think is a good takeaway from it. And hopefully, regardless of which way you voted, that is something that you can take from it as well, and being like, you know, okay, well, I want our politicians to really take us seriously moving forward as well. We've got to go to another song. When we come back, I want to talk about what else you think might happen as next and any other thoughts you might have around this topic. Simon, if you're willing to give me more of your insight, I'd love to have them.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Chatting all things referendum after the fact with Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group on Table Talk this morning. Now, Simon, I guess the next thing is what's next? Where do we go to from here? There's been a lot of speculation on different web platforms and socials and all sorts of things, and people asking that exact question. But from your perspective, what do you think our options are? Where can we go? What can we do?
I think this is quite clear cut from a high level, and that is Do we let ourselves as a nation be discouraged or bruised by this? Or do we, after some sensible reflection, turn it into the positive, to be frank, that it still is? And I just want to contrast these attitudes in a particular way. You know, the Sydney Morning Herald on Sunday, their headline, as soon as I saw it, I thought, that's just so wrong. It read, devastating verdict. Australia tells First Nations people you are not special. Now, that is literally to prejudge 62% of Australia and effectively accuse us of racism. The actual sentiment behind no voters, for example, was the total opposite. And here in a nutshell is that, you know, you can go down that angry, whinging, bruised path, or you can actually see this for what it is, and it is a call by Australia for a new national purpose. There's been recognition of the fact that Aboriginal conditions, their lives need to improve, and the bulk of Australians got behind that. That was never the issue. But we're not going to go and build into our constitution what is effectively a policy of separatism. And I think, it's fascinating to see how the country stood up and said no to that. Moving forward, therefore, is a negative or a positive? You know, which camp do you want to be in? Do you want to get behind everybody else who is committed to improving the lot of our First Australians? Or, you know, do you sort of retreat into inner city academia? And I'm don't be offended, anyone. I'm just using that as a throwaway term. Do you try and take the moral high ground here and turn your back on 62% of your country vote? It's just not the way to go. We can be constructive here. We can work together for unity. We can look at all sorts of ways, and I think we really will. The spotlight's on it. We'll look at all sorts of ways to physically, practically make a difference. And I just totally believe we as a country can do that.
I think so too. And hopefully, whatever the next step is, the things that are proposed, whether it is legislation or improving the bodies that already exist, that it is definitely stuff that can help the lives of our First Nations people. I've got to ask you the question. This one was put to me by my producer who wants to know, do you think that Albanese will still have a job by the end of the week?
For a crystal ball.
No.
He'll probably still have his job, but he has squandered so much political capital here. And it's a tragedy for politics because he had such backing at the beginning for the right type of change. And I think as a leader, he failed to deliver for his party and for the Yes camp. But who knows? I'd say give him a month and it'll be interesting. But he's going to have his hands full with the Israeli war. That's going to distract him for quite some time, and they need him to keep his eye on the ball there.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to wrap up our conversation on our referendum, you know, everything that was on the weekend, any other thoughts to share, Simon, from a legal point of view, a personal point of view? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Tell me the inner thoughts of Simon Creek.
I don't know if you want to know all of those, but look, good question. And, you know, off the cuff, I would say this is all about our attitude now. So I think I just call out to everybody listening, adopt a positive attitude, whether you voted yes or no, overcome the bitterness, the politics, blah, blah, and let's just get together. But I would also say this, I mean, you and I talked about it before the referendum. A lot of people were very frightened almost to voice publicly how they were going to vote. That's not good, you know. That's not good in a free country. What I would encourage everybody to do now that it is over is to not crow in some daft way if you voted no, but don't cry in your breakfast either if you voted yes. Talk, actually talk, engage, share views, discuss, debate. And where you see this need in particular, I suppose, is the inner city pockets that were so strong voting yes compared to pretty much all of regional Australia, suburban Australia. these different people groups need to be talking, sharing ideas and thrashing things out. That's something we've lost as a country. The whole town hall debate and things like that are all gone. This needs the minds of the whole 100% of Australia.
Absolutely.
We can all add ideas and energy and enthusiasm here. And we can show the world and each other that we truly are an inclusive, multicultural country. This is nothing to conflict with that. It's an opportunity to, in fact, be held out there as real leaders in this way.
Absolutely. Well said, Simon. I think it's important, an opportunity to continue conversations and challenge each other, you know, and keep sharpening each other, you know, as the saying is.
Exactly right. Iron sharpens iron. That's a good way to put it.
So, thank you so much, Simon. I really appreciate all of your assistance and as well all of your great wisdom prior to the referendum as well in our special edition last Tuesday. Really appreciate your insights on Table Talk as always.
Been a lot of fun. Always is. Thank you.
You've been listening to Sunshine's Table Talk with me, Leah. Remember, you can hear me live every single day, Monday to Friday from 10 to 12. See you then.